Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about some price changes and timeline updates that Tesla has made in the design studio. We also have a new analyst covering Tesla stock. We'll talk about his price target and note. A couple of updates out of China, including an interesting quality report, news on the Tesla Semi, and some macro-related news as well. Stronger day for tech and growth stocks today, the Nasdaq finishing up 2.5% versus the Dow up 0.6%, Tesla finishing up 4.7% to $699.60. The big macro news for today is President Biden, a day earlier than expected, signing the stimulus relief bill into law, and he'll be addressing the nation tonight, probably right around the time this podcast is published, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. It'll be interesting to see if he has any comments about next orders of business, which we'll come back to a little bit later in the episode. All right, first up, let's talk about pricing. Tesla last night made their third change to prices in the U.S. in the last month, changing pricing on some versions of the Model 3, the Model Y, and the Model S, holding Model X steady. So here are those changes over the last month. It's color-coded from a customer perspective, so green means a lower price, red means a higher price. If we look at the changes from yesterday in March week 2, we see that for the Model 3, we had a $500 price increase on both the Standard Range Plus and the Long Range Non-Performance. So previously, those had both been dropped by $1,000 since the start of the year, now $500 increase. Since January 1st, net-net, those two variants have come down $500. Quick note, I think Electrek was one of the first places to report on the price change. They did say that the Long Range had actually dropped $500. Just want to point out that that is not the case. This is a $500 increase for both the SR Plus and the Long Range from where they were priced 2 days ago. As for the Performance Model 3, that held at $55,990. So net since January 1st, it's increased by $1,000. As for the Model Y, Tesla took the price up by $1,000 on the Long Range Non-Performance, bringing the price back to the $49,990 that it started the year at. The Performance then held at $60,990, $1,000 higher than the start of the year. As for the Model S, Tesla has increased the price on the Plaid Plus Model S by $10,000 to $149,990, and they've also adjusted the delivery timeline estimate, so we'll talk about that in a second, but wrapping up with pricing, if we look at the Model 3 and the Model Y combined, we might see the average price there drop a little bit, because of the $500 price cut on the highest volume Model 3s, the Standard Range Plus and the Long Range, but that should be partially offset by the net price increase on both performance versions of the 3 and the Y. If we think about Tesla's overall average selling price across these four vehicles in the US, it should actually increase because for the refresh Model S and X, Tesla did raise the prices anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 on the Long Range and Plaid variants from where the pre-refresh S and X were priced in Q4. So throughout Q1, the average selling price is going to be a little bit deflated because the S and the X weren't really shipping and Tesla did have these sort of temporary price reductions that were a little bit more than where they've ended up now. Well, we'll see if that's where they ended up. Tesla could change them again in a week. But if they do maintain prices like this heading into Q2, then we should see both really strong volume and really strong average selling prices with that Model S and X getting mixed in. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster in terms of pricing throughout Q1, but where we're at right now at least, I think it's actually pretty impressive. As we've talked about in the last round of pricing updates, Tesla's facing a little bit of a tricky situation right now in the US with the potentially looming federal EV tax credit adjustment. I think a lot of buyers would be wise to wait for that situation to be resolved if they don't need a vehicle at the moment, especially in the more price-sensitive bands of Tesla's offerings. So Tesla kind of has to work against that, and in normal years when Tesla was just producing vehicles from Fremont, maybe they could ramp up international shipping to China or to Europe. But now we have Giga Shanghai, that's going to be fulfilling China and parts of Europe. And then furthermore, for Europe specifically, they're all sitting around waiting for localized manufacturing to drop the prices significantly and waiting around for Model Y. This is why I like to talk about demand pockets. Demand is a fluid concept and it can be influenced by a lot of external factors, particularly over short time horizons. So if Tesla can sell all their vehicles that they're producing under these circumstances, I think that ends up being a very bullish signal for future demand, like we saw last year when Tesla was selling every single vehicle they could produce during the early stages of the pandemic, despite other automakers' sales being down about 30%, even though those other automakers had plenty of inventory to actually sell more than that. So while the pricing action has been a little bit odd in Q1, especially the introduction and then removal of the Standard Range Model Y, from where the pricing and the lineup is sitting today, I think things are looking pretty strong. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Plaid Plus. Mid-2022 now, the estimated delivery for new orders. This has been pushed back prior to today. It was late 2021. I have not yet seen any confirmation from those that have ordered before if their delivery estimate has been adjusted. I'm not sure that those orders even had any other delivery estimates to go by other than what was shown on the design studio. So hopefully we'll see some comments in the comment section about that today. but my intuition here says that this is an overall product delay rather than just for new orders. So I think this goes against the consensus that seems to be forming, or at least the early comments on this, that maybe this is just because of high order rates for the Plaid Plus, with Tesla then potentially moving that delivery estimate for new orders back due to high demand. I'd love for that to be the case, it certainly is possible, but again, my hunch here is that this means that first deliveries are now being targeted for mid-2022. That also fits better with what Elon Musk had said on the Joe Rogan podcast back in early February, when he said that the timeline for the Plaid Plus was maybe a year from now. For the people that have been more on that production delay side, I've seen a lot of conversation about it being potentially about the 4680 battery cells. I don't think that's the case. Tesla said there's a lot of new technology going into the Plaid Plus that's going to go into the Roadster as well. There's more there than just the batteries, and Tesla has already said that they do have 4680 battery cells in prototype vehicles. Really what they're working on now is yield, and the Plaid Plus is just not going to require that much battery capacity. It's a low volume vehicle, especially for the early stages of the ramp up, so I'm not reading into this as 4680 related. If this were pushed off to mid-2022, that would be a much bigger concern for Giga Berlin than it would be for the Plaid Plus Model S. Anyway, we'll keep an eye out over the next couple of days for what we hear from those that have already ordered the Plaid Plus and if they have any updates to their timing. Either way though, I think the increased price to the Plaid Plus and the delivery timeline moving out should help out the take rate on the non-Plus Plaid in the meantime. All right, next here we'll move over to China. There is a really interesting release on vehicle quality complaints. This is from a report from Sohu.com. I think this is government data though. I'm not 100% certain on that, but it shows the number of complaints per 10,000 vehicles. And also with complaints, I'm not exactly sure what they qualify as a complaint. I would imagine based on the rates here that it's probably similar to filing a complaint with NHTSA in the US. But anyway, among all passenger cars, the Tesla Model 3 had the lowest complaint ratio at just 0.7 of every 10,000 cars receiving a complaint. Not only is the Model 3 the best here, but that's only 2% the amount of complaints as the average of 31.9 complaints per 10,000 cars. So the exact takeaway here, again, kind of depends what is classified as a complaint. But regardless, it's amazing to see the Model 3 at the top of the list here, and I don't think this is the first time I feel like we've covered a similar story to this in the past. I do wonder if Tesla gets quality figured out to the degree that they are best in class, what the next criticism of Tesla would become after that. Quickly here, while we are on the topic of China, just an update on the purchase tax exemption that we had talked about yesterday for the Standard Range Plus Model 3 in China. As I said, I was a little bit unclear on exactly that situation yesterday, so thanks today to Tesla Mania for answering some of my questions there. Basically, there are two incentives. So for vehicles under 300,000 yuan, there's a new energy vehicle subsidy of just under 16,000 yuan, that's the $2,400 that I mentioned yesterday. Separately from that, there is also the purchase tax exemption, and that's for 10% of the vehicle sales price before sales tax is added, so it ends up being about 9% of the after-tax price. So the Model 3 Standard Range Plus is eligible for that, but so are Tesla's other vehicles, even including the Model S and X, though TBD on the refreshed S and X, though those are also expected to be included for that purchase tax exemption. So the Model 3 SR Plus getting that, good news, but certainly expected. All right, next up here we have a new analyst covering Tesla. This is Vijay Rakesh from Mizuho. Yesterday they initiated coverage on Tesla with a buy rating and a $775 price target. The issuance came with a pretty detailed 60-page note, which they summarized by saying, quote, Tesla is the global leader in the EV market with its vertically integrated manufacturing, advanced battery and ADAS roadmaps, innovation, and an unsurpassed EV footprint. With only less than 1% share of overall global LVP, Tesla has significant upside as EVs are expected to grow to 25% of global LVP by 2025 versus 3-4% today. With Tesla's cutting-edge battery technology driving key leadership in the EV market and providing sustainable energy storage for residential and industrial applications, disrupting the global energy market, we see Tesla as a leader for the next decade and beyond. End quote. Sorry, I'm not exactly sure what they mean by LVP there. I think they just mean the overall light vehicle market. So some pretty interesting research. They do lose me a little bit with their price target. It looks like they're using a mix of a sum of the parts valuation and a discounted cash flow valuation, which gives them price targets of $845 and $825 respectively. They then say they're applying a 6-8% discount on that, which gives them their price target of $775. That's where they lose me a little bit, and also where it gets interesting because for their sum of the parts valuation, they actually have Tesla delivering 10 million vehicles in 2030, an additional 375,000 trucks here, they call it, at an average selling price of $150,000 a piece. So I assume that's semi-trucks, then 31 gigawatt hours of storage, and 38 gigawatts of solar. On vehicles, they then apply a price to sales of 1.9, on energy, 2.8, and that gives them a 2030 market cap of $950 billion, which they say the share price then is $844 per share. That's where I get really confused, because then I don't understand what sort of discount rate they're using. If it's just $950 billion at that point, discounting back, the price target should be much lower. You're going to need a heck of a lot more than a 6% return over a decade. So they really lose me there in terms of being able to explain what they're talking about. But in terms of just that sum of the parts valuation, there's clearly nothing there other than a slightly higher than normal automotive price to sales ratio that would account for any value from autonomy or full self-driving, about which they say, quote, "We believe other opportunities, such as robotaxi and FSD licensing, could provide more value at," end quote. So again, not sure how that leads to today's price target, but to me it looks like they're forecasting the 2030 valuation to be about $1 trillion before considering the impact of FSD. They also laid out some upside and downside scenarios. For their upside, they say they could see a $1,200 share price, and for downside, they see a $450 share price. All right, moving on from that note, we have an interesting update here on the Semi. I meant to cover this yesterday, but a couple days ago, there was a drone flyover that captured the Semi driving around on one of Tesla's test tracks behind a Model Y, which appeared to be filming it. And this is the presumably newer white Semi, so it looked like they were shooting some promotional footage here. Now, this doesn't give us a ton of information, obviously, on the timeline, but it is encouraging to see and likely points to the fact that this white Semi is more than likely a final design. All right, lastly here, just a quick note to circle back on President Biden's thoughts on electric vehicles. So there was a little snippet here on some comments that he made to Representative Peter DeFazio, who is the House leader for the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Reuters reported on a meeting between DeFazio, President Biden, and House lawmakers saying that, quote, "Biden made the case for electric vehicles or EVs at the meeting," DeFazio said, "and raised General Motor Company's goal of ending production of gasoline-powered passenger vehicles by 2035. Quote, "Biden talked about the Chinese eating our lunch. The Chinese want to dominate the electric auto market," DeFazio said. Biden told lawmakers, quote, "We can't let that happen," DeFazio added, end quote. So again, I think this is interesting in the context of the stimulus package now being signed off on. Energy and climate change may now move into the forefront of discussion. So I'll try to keep an eye out for anything there, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, March 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.